since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
NBA free agency never disappoints, even though the free agency class may be a little bit down compared to what we've seen in years past. Been the trade market talk, and we jumped on this earlier in the show. Shockwave sent through Utah. The Jazz move on from arguably the greatest defensive player in franchise history, Rudy Gobert, on his way to Minnesota. In return, the Jazz get a nice haul of players. They get four first-round picks. They also get Walker Kessler, who was a first-round pick this last year. Decent haul for the Utah Jazz. What does this mean now for the Jazz? What does it mean for Minnesota, who can now tag Rudy Gobert with Karl Anthony Towns? Joining us over the phone, as he does periodically, we have at Snotty Drippin on Twitter. It's James Holis, half of the Dunk Tales podcast. James, I'm excited for this one today. Great to get you back on the show.
Whoa, man, what a bombshell. Yeah, man, I heard the rumbles, and me and you talked about a little bit off air, but yeah, the fact that it actually happened like this, and let's be honest, they got five first-round picks, right? Because that kid was a first-round pick this year. Who knows if they would have picked him, but the point is he's a first-round pick. So to get five first-round picks, and a lot of guys are out in Minnesota, guys like I think Vanderbilt went,
Beverly
went, Malik Beasley, that's a big contract, you know, make the money work. But obviously for Utah, this is about the picks. So, yeah, man, I think the Jazz might be the first domino to fall in a sizable rebuild.
You and I, when we were talking off the cuff, James, we talked about Danny Ainge and how he likes to rebuild things and what he did when he was in Boston, made some moves, grabbed some assets. That's exactly what this is. And when you take a look at the picks, the Jazz get Minnesota's first in 2023, 2025, and 2027. Those are all unprotected picks. Then they get a top five protected pick in 2029. So the assets definitely come in. You're giving up an all-star center. You're not getting an all-star in return, but, boy, you're getting a lot of depth pieces. And I don't know how many of these guys actually stick. I mean, I don't know if we ever see Patrick Beverley in a Jazz uniform. I don't know. Walker Kessler should get some Jazz fans excited. Like you said, it is a first-round pick for a team that did not have a draft pick this last year. I think one of the other tidbits I find interesting with this trade, Tim Connelly's first draft in Denver, he traded out of the pick and the Jazz basically bought Rudy Gobert. He moves on, president of the Timberwolves, and in a couple of weeks, he grabs Rudy Gobert. Like, there's some connections here that I find interesting, but nonetheless, does it smell of a soft reboot to you for this Jazz squad?
I guess right now they're at a pivotal point. They could say it's a soft reboot. I don't know moving forward, though, when you got Donovan Mitchell and then now you have a bunch of guys. You also still have Bogdanovich and Conley's there. I think Conley's kind of breaking down a little bit. You got Pat Beverly, you know, good backup, I guess. What's the next play? Because if they don't make another pretty good-sized move to try to maybe shore up, you know, bring more talent in, it's a giant step back, right? So have they sold Donovan Mitchell saying, hey, man, we're going to have a down year, but next summer we're going to make some waves? Maybe. Or do you now turn around and pivot and say, all right, Don, you know, we're going to move you too. So they're at a pivotal point, and I guess the next few weeks will be telling for Utah what other moves they can make. But they definitely have at least hit the button on a soft reboot, and we'll see if they do a hard restart here in the next few weeks.
James, I know you're really familiar with what Danny Ainge did in Boston. And the Celtics team, they got close multiple times, even when they came up just short. Remember, this was a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They came up short against Cleveland. That was in the Danny Ainge era. Just looking at the way everything has gone down, they accumulated all the assets. Maybe they whiffed on a couple of big names that were rumored to come. Maybe Danny Ainge kept his cards too tight to his vest. But all in all, are you a believer in the way Danny Ainge rebuilds, I don't even want to say rosters, the way he reimagines franchises?
Yeah, he did a great job in asset collection, right? I think he did a really good, obviously that move with Garnett and Pierce to get all those, the haul from Brooklyn, that basically, you know, that was a hard reset. And in the initial stages, he did a great job of churning through players and finding value contracts. Guys like Crowder popped up. You know, he did a great job, I believe, early. Got Marcus Smart at six. I think his issues were further on down the rebuild, where you know he kept with the small guards and Kemba, whatever. But yes, I think if you want anyone to oversee a tear down to the studs and a restocking of the larder, Danny Ainge is probably your guy. And you know, I guess maybe we could, you know, now in hindsight, we've seen this coming when they brought in Danny Ainge. You know, his time in Boston was done, and they brought in a guy for win now. And you know, Stevens kind of came up, and he's making the right moves. But Ainge did a great job of giving him the ammo, so maybe this is what they're doing. I can see them trying a year of, you know, like you said, kind of walking the line between a rebuild and actually trying to compete, and then they have a decision to make with Donovan Mitchell. So, yeah, if I'm a Utah Jazz fan, I'm feeling confident that we'll at least get the assets and we'll get the bedrock set.
As far as Minnesota goes, interesting. You and I had a conversation about how Gobert would fit in Minnesota's roster if this trade was to go down with Karl Anthony Towns. A lot of money now wrapped up with two bigs. I really like this team. I really do. And I'm trying to think just how Gobert and Cat could actually fit together. Cat doesn't want to play a lick of defense. I think we see him now spend a lot of time out on the perimeter. Maybe this is a match made in heaven. Although when you take a look at what salary you just absorbed in Rudy Gobert, James, that's a ton of money locked up between your 5 and 4 spots.
And that's where I would be concerned as a, you know, if I'm pulling from Minnesota, is that you got two gigantic contracts locked up in your 4 and 5. And they're a decent fit because, like, you know, we know that Gobert likes to lurk around the rim. We know Cat likes to float around the perimeter. So offensively, it shouldn't be too bad of a fit. You know, you got a pick-and-roll partner for the guards in Minnesota with Rudy. You know, Rudy's a, you know, great dive man, sets good screens. But, yeah, this we talk about salary allocation. We know that Anthony Edwards is going, he's going to get a max here as soon as they can. So you have three giant max contracts. And I don't know how much longer Rudy has. I mean, look at his contract, but I'm pretty sure he kind of just signed that big.
He just signed it, yeah. I mean, he's under contract for a couple of more years.
Right. So, yeah, man. So once it comes moving forward, like, are you – if they're not – contenders, if they're not in the Western Conference Finals, if they're not final contenders, then you're paying, you know, championship money to a team that's just might not be good enough. And I think, you know, Anthony Edwards, I love him. I think he's going to be a superstar. Cat, I'm not as high on, but he's, you know, a great shooter. He can give you 25 points a game. Rudy, don't have to worry about scoring now. You got two big-time scorers, and he can just block shots. And I guess, you know, when they go small, they could figure something out, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely a move. It's definitely something, you know, if Minnesota knows they had to make a gigantic move, it's a high-ceiling move, probably a pretty high-floor move too, right? I don't think they're going to stink. So, I mean, hey, why not?
We didn't talk about D'Angelo Russell. He's got one more year left on his deal. I believe it's $31 million, if I'm not mistaken. So you tag that with the fact that next year Rudy's at 41 and 43, and then if I'm not mistaken, gets a player option for 47. Maybe getting off the D'Angelo Russell contract at the end of next season, maybe that alleviates, right, some of the financial stress that you may have knowing that Anthony Edwards is going to get a max deal.
It is damning and telling that I completely forgot about D'Angelo Russell in the moment, because he just disappears on the court at times.
Yeah,
and to make the money he makes, and to be a defensive liability, to be a guy who doesn't get to the free throw line, he's a streak shooter. He is definitely overpaid. And he, honestly, does he fit in this roster anymore? I don't think so. So they would probably love to move him, but that's one of those contracts. Like, what team? What do you have to give up to get off that contract? What team has a need for a volume scorer, decent passer, no defense, veteran guard who makes $30+ million a year? So I think you said there's only 1 year left?
Only 1 year, yeah. He's off the books at the end of the season.
Okay, so that's a good thing, because then he's expiring, so he has a little more value. I don't know what you get for him. I don't know what you have attached to him to get him moved. I don't know if you just play it out, so... That's fascinating. I completely forgot about D'Angelo Russell, and as most people should, because I think he's been a really overhyped player for most of his career.
Agreed. Who wins the trade in your mind, Utah, Minnesota?
I guess if we're talking about just like as in the moment, it's definitely going to be Minnesota, right? Because I think Rudy needed a fresh start. I think he pairs well with Carl, as well as you probably want with Carlton Towns and a big flashing wing like Anthony Edwards. So, yeah, I'm going to say that Minnesota won this one. the Jazz, obviously, they got their assets. So in their own way, they're probably happy with the results. But, yeah, I know Jazz fans can't be very happy with that return.
Well, I mean, depending on how you want to view this, right, I agree with you. I think Minnesota wins this deal. But we haven't even talked about the Royce O'Neal deal from yesterday. So in the last 24 hours, you got to remember, the Jazz have now accumulated 6 first-round picks. Makes me wonder if it's not the Sam Presti model right now in Utah. 6 first-round picks because they moved Royce for a first-round pick yesterday.
Yeah, and that's like, this is why I'm thinking a rebuild might be on the horizon, because I'm pretty sure if they find the right deal for Donovan, they can probably, you know, almost double that, right? Or some of the pieces they have, they can get. Bogdanovich is a very good player. You know what I mean? So if they decide to go scorched earth, they're going to have a pretty good accumulation if they wanted to. So, yeah, and you know what? First-round picks, as fans, I think sometimes we might undervalue them. I know that as GMs, maybe some GMs overvalue them, but they're goals, right? And so much of the potential in them is what makes them goals. And teams want them. So if you get them, you can either turn them, you know, you can coalesce them and move up in the draft. You can move them for other players. Like, there's so much value in them. And there's nothing wrong with what Utah is doing right now, I think. They're doing all the right moves right now.
Let me throw one thing at the wall. I'm just going to throw Jello to the wall, see if I can nail it, get it to stick. The Jazz now with 6 first-round picks over the last 24 hours. They don't have a big at the moment. They don't have a center. It's been very quiet on the DeAndre Ayton front. Could they now become a player and a sign-and-trade to bring in DeAndre Ayton? And would you like that fit with Donovan Mitchell?
This is why I like when we don't talk about stuff offline. You get a natural response from me on the air. That's a great, great, great. They have some contracts to make it work if they need to, but they don't really, right? They could do a sign and trade, or they can just trade for him outright. Yeah, that's actually a really, they could probably get rid of some of those contracts and get the cap space.
Yeah. I like that idea. I really do.
100% on board, and I'll make sure I give you all the credit and everywhere I talk about it. I am now pushing for a Donovan Mitchell, DeAndre Ayton team up, and I think that's a much better pairing than Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. So, yes, I am 100% on board with that now.
James, before I let you go, we got to talk about your Boston Celtics, because they, too, made a big deal today. And 2 weeks ago, you and I are sitting here, we're talking about what the Celtics could do, how many roster spots are already locked up moving into next year. They cleared out a lot of space today. They have some spots now to fill. They acquire Malcolm Brogdon from the Indiana Pacers. I'm sure you love this. When I saw the deal on paper, yeah, the Pacers are getting a 2023 first-round pick. They're getting 5 players. Daniel Tice is one of them. But in the grand scheme of things, boy, this seems like a home run for the Boston Celtics. They get what they need in Malcolm Brogdon.
Not just a home run, that's a moonshot. They knocked into that, to the stratosphere. We saw in the finals that the big thing that the Celtics were missing was poise and playmaking outside. Well, just playmaking, because outside of Marcus Smart. I'm going to give Marcus Smart a pass because, you know, he's their 4th or 5th best player, and he shouldn't have had that much responsibility. Brogdon is a smart player. He's a savvy player. He's a good shooter and scorer. When he's healthy, he's an impact kind of guy. So I think Boston knocked that one out of the park. They moved a lot of pieces that were ancillary pieces. Like, I like Nesmith's potential, but it's been 2-3 years. Cool, didn't work out. Yeah, the absolute no-brainer for Boston. This is not my money I'm spending. The contracts are really ballooning in Boston, but as long as the ownership is willing to pay for it, I'm willing to take it. I think Brogdon, you know, he's had a lot of injury issues, but with Smart, all the guards there, right? Marcus Smart, Derek White, even Peyton Pritchard, he can be gently used. I love it. I absolutely love the move. I was a little bit worried about Boston. I saw a lot of moves go down yesterday that I was like, oh, they should have gotten those, and they didn't. But this makes up for it.
He is James Hollis. You can find him on Twitter at Snotty Drippin', also with the Dunk Tales podcast. James, always a pleasure to get you on. Of course, before I let you go, you got to let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Scottie Pippen was my favorite player. Just swap out some letters, and there's now it's Snotty Drippin'. Find me on Twitter and on Instagram if you want, but that's kind of boring. And then Dunk Tales Pod, we try to record every Thursday or Friday, and we're going to have one up tonight or tomorrow about free agency with me and my buddy JP. All platforms that have podcasts, that's Dunk Tales, T-A-L-E-S. And, yeah, check us out.
James, always a pleasure to get you on. Look forward to talking again real soon to continue to talk free agency and, of course, the trade market. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, brother. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Be safe.
Let's pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.